He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be back, and you haven't changed a bit. I looked at 4 years ago, I took lots of photos of you all. We were looking at them last night with Tina, just to check everybody who everybody was, and you haven't changed. You still look as young and as beautiful and lovely as ever, so thank you very much, and congratulations on your 200th anniversary. It must feel like I've been coming here for about 200 years sometimes, but anyway, I haven't really. I think it was first was in 1989. I came here originally through Pam and Nigel Priestley. They were my next door neighbours before that in Hyington in County Durham. And when they moved here and I was looking for some churches to support me going to Tanzania, they said, well, how about Holy Trinity Huddersfield? And I remember, I think the first weekend I stayed here, I stayed with the Armitages. And having seen Quinton on the top of a ladder today, I can tell you he hasn't changed either. And then I stayed one time with Elspeth McCulloch. I wonder if you remember her. She was, they're all nodding. She was your curate. Well, I stayed with her last week. She lives near London. And just to let you know, at that time I stayed with her here, she was living on her own. She hadn't yet got married. Now her oldest son is at university. So. And tomorrow I'm leaving here and I'm going to be staying with Calvert and Sharon Prentice. You'll probably remember them. And they're in Birmingham. If you want me to take your greetings, please write them down or whatever. And Sharon came to visit me in Taiwan as a result of me giving a sermon in this church. She was inspired to come, kindly paid for by the University of Huddersfield, because she came on a kind of lecture tour. So if any of you feel inspired to come, there's all sorts of ways you can come. And the last one was, last time I was here was Joan Greaves, nearly her 100th birthday. And I went to visit her, and she kindly gave, instead of having birthday gifts, she collected the money and sent it to CMS for my support. And she died soon after that, but her daughter came to Taiwan just a year or two ago. I was really quite surprised. She sent me an email and she said, I'm coming on a tour of Taiwan. Could we meet up? So I took her to a church and we had a really nice time together. So thank you for all the support of Holy Trinity over the years, financial, prayer, support emails, all sorts of things. I brought you some leaflets. You can take one back with you. And you know, please continue to pray for all that's going on. And I have to say, this is my very last church visit. I've done 12 weekends of church visits. I'm leaving England on February the 5th. That's kind of next week. And I arrive back in Taiwan on February the 15th. So please pray for, and we're having a prayer time in a minute, but that's the basic idea, is that I'm leaving here, saying goodbye to everybody and getting ready to settle back into Taiwan. Has anybody ever been to Taiwan apart from those people I already mentioned? Anybody here? Oh, one person here. Wow. Wonderful. Did you enjoy it? You're still smiling. Must have been all right. You're working. That's why most people come. You know, so if you can, any of you have a job that involves Taiwan or possibility, please come to Taiwan. We're an island country in the Pacific Ocean. We're about half the size of Ireland, but we've got tons more people, and we're all crowded in together. So we live high rise. When you're crowded in, you think England's crowded or Huddersfield's crowded. Taiwan, well, I mean, we're all high rise. I live in a country town, a little tiny country town, and I'm on the bottom floor, the ground floor of a 12-story block of flats. We drive motorbikes because there's no parking for cars. So, you know, that's when I say crowded. That's because 80% of the island is covered in high mountains. But, you know, we're an island nation. The UK is an island nation too. We're all island people, independent. Is that true? Strong, resilient. Is that true? Yes, yes. When disaster comes, we cannot run away because there's nowhere to run to. And we cannot rely on anyone else coming to help us because they can't get here. Sometimes you might see on the TV, I sometimes see in the United States, Florida, places like that, they're getting a hurricane's coming and they're all in their cars, they're driving up the freeway to get away from the hurricane. Whether it's the Vikings coming or the beast from the east or whatever it is, there's nowhere for us to run away to. We have to stay and fight. That's our history, isn't it? We're forced to stay and fight. We're tough people. Island people are quite tough. And we have a long and complicated history of who are our enemies and who are our friends. Think back to your history lessons. Those of you who studied in this country, the kings of England. Remember? Remember all those history classes? Yes, they're all nodding over there. History classes. The kings of England married. Who did they marry? The daughters of the kings of Spain, Portugal, France, Germany, anywhere else? Oh, now we've got Meghan, she's American. So we're all kind of, you know, kind of making alliances to make our little island nation stronger than everybody else's so that we can fight or defend. So we have a long and complicated history of who are enemies and who are our friends. So I will not explain to you the long and complicated history. On August the 23rd, we call that date 823, started what is known as the 823 artillery shell bombardment. And over a period of about 6 weeks, an estimated 450,000 artillery shells were fired, not at Taiwan itself, but at one of Taiwan's outlying islands. It's called Jinmen. Jinmen is located right next to the Chinese mainland, but it's governed by Taiwan, which is 100 miles away. Now, island people are not just tough and resilient, but they're also very resourceful. And the people of Jinmen over the years have collected up all those old artillery shells and they use them to make knives. They have a blacksmith's forge type of thing and they make knives. When I say knives, I mean cleavers, knife cleavers for cutting meat. If you are a chef in Taiwan, and we've got quite a lot of chefs because Chinese food is a big industry, every chef in Taiwan has got one of these knives from Jinmen. Everybody who goes to Jinmen now on holiday buys one of those knives to give as a gift when they go home. But when our bishop, Bishop David Lai, when he went to Jinmen, he had a vision to take some of those artillery shells and transform them, not into knives, but into crosses. His vision was to transform objects of hatred and death and war into symbols of love and peace. So this is, I'm wearing one of these. This is, we call this an artillery shell cross. It was, the metal that made this cross was originally from an artillery shell, the casing. And now it's a cross. It is really an amazing transformation. There's a P in the middle, which stands for peace. Thank you. And peace in Chinese, anybody know? We got any Chinese speakers? Yes, peace? Okay, and because it's Cantonese and there's Chinese, but in Chinese, not, you know, it's not easy like English. There's two words for peace. There's world peace, kind of, you know, general peace, and then there's the peace when we shake hands at communion and we say Ping An. Ping An, which sounds like it begins with a P, so it's very convenient, isn't it? We don't write it with a P, of course. You know, Chinese characters write it slightly differently, but the P is for peace. We Christians are very much in the business of transformation, transforming artillery shells into crosses, transforming hearts and lives and communities through the love of Christ. That's what Mission, yes, who I work for and who you have kindly supported for not quite 200 years. Yes, it was 200, maybe 200 years. Who I work for and you supported for all these years is all about. We're transforming lives through Christ. That's what your community review, I think, is really all about. How can we go about the business of transforming lives through Christ? Last summer, I went to visit some friends from Taiwan's indigenous people. Now, Taiwan has 12 or 13 tribes of indigenous people. They're only 2% of the population, and they mostly live, these days, they live in the high mountains, When I say high mountains, the mountains in Taiwan are like the Alps. They go up to nearly 4,000 meters. And the indigenous people live up there, and they also live on the east coast. And in the past, many of those tribes were very fierce headhunters. In the past, they didn't just capture and kill people from enemy tribes either, but they also captured people from shipwrecked boats. Now, you can imagine the Pacific Ocean, they have typhoons every summer. One of those ships will get shipped, they'll be shipwrecked. The people will be kind of washed up on the island of Taiwan, and you might think, great, we've been saved at last, only to meet the indigenous people who were all dressed up, and they thought they were being invaded. And so the only way to handle invaders was cut their heads off, and they would stick them on a, I won't go into great detail, but that included Americans and Japanese. They had this experience, their ships shipwrecked, and the sailors were killed. But my friend's brother, one of the chiefs of the tribes, he told me that now they are Christians, they're all one family in Christ. 70% of the indigenous people in Taiwan are now Christians. There's no more killing, no more headhunting. Enemies have become friends. Now it's all about loving your neighbor. That is a transformation. I can tell you why, because on this chief's, my friend's brother's headdress, which he was wearing for this kind of festival thing, he's got all these feathers, and he's got two bits of red. They're not feathers, they're like horse hair, but they're red, bright red. And in Taiwan, because of the colonial history, the only people who ever really colonized Taiwan by war for a couple of years were the Dutch. And for some reason, in Taiwan, everybody thinks the Dutch have got red hair. So they all say to me, you see that red hair? That's you foreigners. And if you're not good, Catherine, I'm telling you, after a weekend here, your hair, you just be careful. You know, we've got space for yours as well. But anyway, fortunately, we're all now Christians and they're all Christians, because it's really quite scary. These guys are big guys. It's a transformation, transforming lives through Christ. Now, I run some community English classes in Taiwan. Now, just a little aside, if you're young and English is your first language, or if you're studying English in any subject in a kind of university in this country which uses English, you would be qualified to be an English teacher in Taiwan. So come, because we need a lot of people to come. The people who come to my English classes, they are Taiwan people who have studied English throughout secondary school. Now, think of your language classes in secondary school. I don't know, what did you learn? French? Spanish? English, German, was it a fun experience? Yes, there's one or two nodding. For Taiwan people, when they think of English classes all the way through secondary school, they remember grammar. You know, English grammar is so difficult. I mean, I'm trying to teach you, and I really don't know why do we say I go and I went. Why do we say yesterday I went? Why don't we just say yesterday I go? Why do we keep changing these verbs? It's really hard. I mean, to you just speak it. We don't think why. Why do we say buy becomes bought when it's, you know, in the past? It's really complicated. Well, I mean, we have rules, but, you know, they keep changing. Other languages like Chinese, they just stick with the same verb. The verb never changes, and it is. You know, Chinese is really difficult, but the grammar is actually really, I just encourage you, it's really quite much easier, let's put it that way. But for Taiwan people, speaking English is really hard. They remember grammar tests, spelling tests, comprehension tests, and they're quite nervous about speaking. What happens if they open their mouth and the wrong grammar comes out? They feel embarrassed. And so rather than speaking out, they keep quiet, and they're quite shy and very modest. That means games and activities, all those things that you played when you were a child. Think of the party games, pass the parcel. Every time you open one of those layers, you have to do something that involves using English. You know Jenga, that game where you build a tower with bricks and you have to pull out of the brick and put it on the top before it kind of falls down. Every time you pull out a brick, you have to say something about yourself in English. You know, my son is 5 years old. I like dancing. I like to go to wherever. And by the time this tower is kind of wobbling up there, you're so focused on the tower, you've forgotten that English is really difficult. I might say, okay, your group down there, five people, just a kind of random group of classmates, you're going to the zoo. Pretend you're going to the zoo. And go away for half an hour and come back with a little skit about going to the zoo in English, and I want it to be funny. Well, they come back later. I mean, they can hardly control themselves. They're just laughing so much. We've got one being an elephant, one being a rabbit, one being mother with the all these children, and a teenager who doesn't want to be there in the first place. And by the end, they have really, they've spoken English. They've realized that actually, it doesn't really matter if you get the grammar wrong. I mean, who cares, really? I mean, it's important in a test, but, you know, for understanding and communication, it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to jump down their neck and say, it's wrong grammar. It doesn't matter. Just, I need to be able to understand. That's all I tell them. And so they end up, you know, gaining in confidence and really enjoying their English class and really look forward to the next English class. It is quite a transformative experience. Now, my other English classes are a bit more serious because the students are a bit more advanced. And so we have Bible story as part of our regular classes. It's for many, it's their first time ever to open the Bible. And the stories are unfamiliar. But they say they want to learn and understand. If you listen to the news or what's going on in the world, they often use, in English, Bible references, which if you don't have a knowledge of the culture or the heritage of the Bible, you really find it hard to understand. People talk, and I've heard it recently in the news, people talk about David and Goliath. When they're talking about politics or something, we talk about David and Goliath. We talk about a Damascus Road experience. We use a lot of phrases that come out of the Bible. And you really have to kind of know these things if you're going to kind of survive in this kind of culture. When your horizons are limited by your lack of English, then there's a thirst, really, to know more and learn more and explore more of the world beyond your own small community. Because that's one of the problems of island living, isn't it? Our horizons are very limited. Beyond those waters that encircle our island is a largely unknown world. It's filled with people who speak and think differently from us. Mind you, you're in Yorkshire, aren't you? I mean, you probably think the same thing. You just go over the Pennines and there's Lancashire. Do they speak different? Well, yes. Anyway, many Taiwan people, they have quite a kind of lack of confidence when it comes to traveling beyond the shores of Taiwan on their own. If you meet Taiwan students here in Huddersfield, I mean, they are really doing, they're just like heroes at home. I meet so many students who say, I would never dare to go overseas to study. So, you know, but my cousin, he's studying in America or England. Wow, they're like the hero of their family because they've conquered the English-speaking world to such an extent they can go and study in another language. People say to me, how could I travel overseas on my own? What if I can't understand what people say to me? What if I fall ill? What happens if someone tries to cheat me? So most people from Taiwan travel overseas in tour groups. Even honeymoon in groups. A lot of my students have been on a honeymoon to England or wherever, and they go in a group. They're not going on a honeymoon group. They're going in a group tour, and, you know, you don't get much holiday in Taiwan. You work very long hours, and, you know, there's not, you know, 4 weeks holiday. That is luxury. We are lucky if you get 5 days. If you get married in Taiwan, the rules are you can get 7 days holiday. And so they go on a tour, added a few weekends. They may come to England on a honeymoon tour in a group. It makes the travel experience easier if you're in a group. Learning English and having the courage to speak, it can transform people's lives. It gives them confidence to travel on their own, and that confidence is infectious. It passes on down to the next generation too. And if my students meet foreigners in Taiwan, like this happened with Joan Grieve's daughter, we met lots of Taiwan students and we would say, oh, take a picture. And like they were really nervous. But some of my students will send me messages saying, guess what? I met some foreigners and I didn't run away and I spoke to them in English. They nearly all say the same thing, which is take my photo. So yes, they have a really good time and send me messages and it really helps them to gain in confidence. But Taiwan, like the UK, is not immune to the problem of island mentality. Broadly speaking, island mentality is the idea that isolated communities think of themselves as superior to the rest of the world. I'm sure if you ever travel overseas, and people sometimes, they assume you are from another place from where you really are. They say to me, no, you've got an interesting accent. Whereabouts in America do you come from? And I think, America? Or Australia or New Zealand or wherever. Oh, maybe for you they say, whereabouts in Lancashire do you come from? Or whatever it is, you know. We're quick to say, oh, no, I come from England, or wherever I come from. For Taiwan people, it's the same. People assume they come from China, and they're quick to say, nope, from Taiwan. Now, that's not an example of island mentality, but it can lead in that. It can lead to discrimination, prejudice, and intolerance. That's true for Taiwan, and it's true for the UK. As Christians, we're called to transform our communities, to stop focusing on ourselves and our own goodness, to become outward-looking, tolerant, welcoming, and loving. So let's start with our own hearts and our own attitudes. In today's Bible reading from Luke's Gospel, we heard the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The introduction says that Jesus told this parable to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Now, the Pharisee in the parable didn't actually live on an island, but he had a classic island mentality. He's full of himself. I. He mentions it many times. You can count how many times he says I. How he's better than everybody else. And the tax collector just comes empty-handed before God, humbly acknowledging that he's a sinner and he needs God's mercy. It's a tax collector who goes home justified before God, not the I man. The word I in Chinese, you know this, I'm talking about I as in me, but the pronunciation is the same as the word in Chinese for, anybody know, the word love. Okay, in Chinese, the Mandarin Chinese, the word love is pronounced as I. We use the word I to talk about myself. We can pray and hope that this I that is me can be transformed into the I that is love, that is pronounced how it's pronounced in Chinese. It's never too late to ask for God's mercy, to humbly kneel before God and ask him to take our island mentalities and the focus on ourselves and our own goodness and transform them into humble, loving hearts and lives that serve God and one another. And finally, to go back to these artillery shell crosses, a few months ago, because I came to England, our bishop's vision was that he would be able to present one of these crosses to the peacemakers of the world. So he gave one to the head of the United Nations, and he happened to be able to be invited to see the Pope in Rome, and he gave one to him. And then because I was coming to England, we arranged that I would present one to the Archbishop of Canterbury on behalf of the Bishop of Taiwan. So I presented him with one that was bigger than this, but this is, you know, it's got on the back 823 artillery shells. And down the bottom, in English on one side, Chinese on the other, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." I have taken this same cross to all my different churches, and now I'm at my last church, and so I'm about to present it to Mike, because yes. Our bishop said I could give one, but mostly it was crosses like this, to give to one to all the supporting churches that I have so kindly support me and pray for Taiwan. So I'm about to present this to you from our bishop in thanksgiving for all the support that all the people of Holy Trinity Huddersfield have supported me for the last many years, 200. But anyway, I hope to be back in 4 years' time. I hope you're still all here looking as young and as lovely as you all are now. So thank you very much. There you go. We'll take a photo later.
That's great.